Anyway, are we ready? Right. A silly thing, but a certain person forgot to bring the offering back. So, the pub have given us this. We asked for a bowl. So that's the offering pot for today. Today is the 16th. 2 days ago, the 14th, was Bruce's birthday. And so we're going to begin by singing Happy Birthday, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Comes the late comer. Right, over to Ginny. Thank you very much.
Right. Good morning, everyone. We're looking today, as you will have seen, at the cost of discipleship. So we're going to start with King of Kings, Majesty, which has in the chorus, Your Majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve Your Majesty. And I pray that we can all sing that with meaning today. And the we'll go straight after that. Sorry, I'm a bit croaky. Into Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways. There's just some absolutely wonderful words in this hymn. And of course, in verse 2, it talks about Jesus calling the disciples. So do focus on the words as you're praising the Lord, because they are so beautiful. So we'll start with King of Kings, Majesty. Actually, I'll just pray before we start. Oh Lord, as always, we want to thank you and praise you for the freedom that we have to come here and praise your holy name. And Lord, as we sing these songs today and worship you and hear what you've given Bruce to say, Lord, help us to take it all in and to walk as your disciples. So thank you, Jesus, for this blessed morning of praising you. Amen.
God of heaven.
Doing all our words and words.
our Lord in prayer, I just want to explain to you that one or two facts about the people that we name in the prayer. First of all, for those who don't know you, Stuart, Jean's husband, is at the moment in hospital, and so special prayer both for Stuart and for Jean. John and Margaret, Bruce's parents, had a lovely dog which they've had for years, but had to be taken to the pet, to the vet, and put down. You know, when you lose a companion like that and you're living on your own as they are, it's quite a loss. So we need to remember them. Sarah has a very bad cold, and that's why she is not with us today. And then there is Brian's son David. He is gradually, I think we'd say, recovering. He's put on weight, but we still need to pray for him, and that he will overcome the cancer that has put him down so low. And then another friend of Brian's, Nicole, is seriously ill in hospital, and Brian would like our prayers for Nicole. Let us come to the Lord.
You know Lewis and Heather, they had a lot to do with Brunel Manor.
Yep. Oh, right, yes.
So Lewis collapsed in the garden, was rushed to Torbay Hospital. He's now in Exeter Hospital, 11.5 hours, as a replacement as we speak. So
that's Lewis who comes to the luncheon.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Heather doesn't know because of her dementia. She hasn't got a clue what's going on. But Lewis has been really ill.
Mm.
But pray, you know, my prayers are with him at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stuart. Right, let us come to God in prayer, and let us know that whatever our situation, the Lord loves us and wants the best for us. He is concerned about all that we go through at different times, and He is the one, the only one, who we can go to and know that if we let Him, He will act accordingly to whatever the situation might be. We want to know, we want to remind ourselves that the promises that we have in Scripture from the Lord are true, and we need to accept them. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way you chose your disciples and for those whom you called. We thank you for your teaching about discipleship, and we pray that we, as your disciples today, might follow the teaching and become everything that a good disciple should be. We promise not to deny you, but in humility to accept all that you may require of us. Some disciples are affected by various needs, and we want to pray this morning especially for some that we know about. We pray for David. We thank you, Lord, for the way he has been coping with the cancer. And we pray, Lord, for a full recovery. We pray for April, Lord. We ask that you would be her personal healer. We pray, Lord, for John and Margaret. It's one thing, Lord, to be living on your own and not able to get out. But when you let, when you lose a pet like your dog, we know, Lord, it must be very hard for them. And we pray that you would be their constant companion, that you would give them your strength and be all that they require. We pray for Sarah, who's got a very bad cold. Ask that you be with them. Lord, as we think of Stuart and Joan, we know, Lord, that we would love to see Stuart back at home, and we pray, Lord, that this might happen in your time, but we pray that might be soon. We pray for Nicole. Lord, be all that she needs. We're told that she is seriously ill. We believe she's had some wrong treatment, but now is recovering the proper treatment. We pray for those who are responsible for treating her. We pray for her and for all her family. We pray for Lewis. Lord, we're so used to seeing Lewis at the luncheon cup. And we thank you, Lord, that you know him. We thank you that he loves you. And we know that you will be all that he needs. And it's going to be very difficult, Lord, for Heather during this time. Hard for her to understand what's happened. And indeed, why? Pray, Lord, that you would be Lewis's healer, that you would be Heather's companion. And we thank you, Lord, for Pauline, for she cares for Heather, and she cares also for Lewis. We thank you, Lord, for her, and ask that you would continue to help her use the gifts you have given her. And Lord, as your disciples, may we each accept your lordship and live a life of devotion to you, trusting you and seeking to be much more like you, and to be faithful in sharing your work of spreading the good news. May we all be faithful in following you and giving you and you only all the glory. Amen. Thank you, Jenny.
So we're going to sing a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the scripture says, and the song says, that that's how people will know that we're Jesus' disciples, as we love one another.
You are my mentor.
song and its author, we are reminded on the next page that those words actually come from the Bible. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that's the words, of course, of our Lord himself. And now we turn to God's word, and that's going to be read to us by Rachel. Thank you, Rachel.
Bible reading this morning is Luke 14, 25 to 35. The cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. If he is not able, he will send a delegation, while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you have not been my disciples. You cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
Amen. So when I was looking at songs for this week, this one sort of jumped out at the file at me. And I'm hoping some of you know it. We thought, well, Jean will know it, and then discovered she knew a different version. And apologies to Bruce, because I forgot to send him the 5 verses. Anyway, so it's called "Who is on the Lord's Side? Who will serve the King?" And again, some great words in this hymn. Chosen to be soldiers in an alien land, chosen, called, and faithful for our captain's band. In the service royal, let us not grow cold. Let us be right loyal, noble, true, and bold. Master, wilt thou keep us by thy grace divine, always on the Lord's side, Saviour, always thine. It's a wonderful song, so we're kind of all learning it together, I think.
Savior, we are thine.
Sometimes we must have wondered why Jesus chose the disciples that he did. But it does show us that whoever they were, he was able to do wonders through those who remained active. And so we need to put our confidence in the Lord, and if we are willing to be his disciples, then we have to know what it's all about. Can I just say that the word disciple is a Greek word for apprentice or learner. It's used some 250 times in the New Testament, where it is used most often to describe members of Christ's kingdom. Discipleship constitutes our answer to the call of Jesus to follow him. Some of those whom Jesus called to follow him did so, but others did not respond. The call to follow Jesus is in the light of his death and resurrection on our behalf. And Jesus, after his death and resurrection, said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So then, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? First, we're going to look at the cost and the condition of being a disciple. Yes, there is a cost. The call is to follow, but there is that cost. No one, it says, can serve two masters. So what is the cost and what are the conditions? A, there must be self-denial. This is needed right from the very beginning. You see, it's not our life, but it's his. We must abandon every idol. There is no hoarding of life's luxuries. There's no looking back. Instead, we are to give our all to him. And B, there must be a sincere acceptance of the lordship of Christ. Is he Lord of our lives? I wonder. Scripture warns us of what awaits those who call on the Lord, but who do not practice what he says. Again, God's word says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so the question, is Christ truly the Lord of our lives? And then C, there must be a life of devotion. Our relationship with Jesus must supersede all other relations. And I want you to take note of what I'm going to say now. In verse 26, where it says we are to hate husbands, wives, etc., it is perhaps better understood when we realize that this hate, this word hate, means in the Eastern Ibian that we are to love less. It doesn't mean we are to hate. We are to love less our relatives. And that's what it should be, isn't it? We put Jesus first, and then come our family and loved ones. So there we go. Also, D, there must be an acceptance of the need to die to self. Because it's only when we learn the principle of dying to self that we can truly live for Jesus. He comes first. E, we must accept the discipline of instruction. True disciples will surely want to learn. And discipleship means doing the will of the Father. But to do this, we must listen to and obey God's word. So there is a cost and conditions. That was number one. Number two is the proof of discipleship. What proof is there that we are living truly as disciples should? Well, A, obedience shows our love for God. John 14, verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever hears my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." B, fruitfulness. Matthew 12, verse 33. Jesus said, a tree is recognized by its fruit. There are different levels of fruitfulness, and as we grow spiritually, we must become more fruitful as disciples. Then there is love. That is love for God and for others. Do you know, my friends, one sure test of true discipleship is a love that goes beyond the limits of ordinary human love. It's a special love. And D, there must be an awareness of our privilege. We did not choose Jesus. Let's be honest. He chose us. And so we are indeed a privileged people. And we need to understand that and appreciate it with all our heart. And then there is humility. Greatness in the sight of God involves humble service. It shows our willingness to take on both the attitude and the role of our servant. Our Lord warns us against the desire for status. Mark 10, verse 31, Jesus said, many who are first will be last, and the last first. In my second church, the church treasurer said to me, I was going to sit down in an ordinary chair. You don't sit there. You sit in that chair. And there was this great big chair which they had for their minister. As kindly as I could, I refused. You know, it's not about us. It's about him. And we can be so tempted by position or by treatment of others to be less than we should be. So, that's been the cost and condition, and we've looked at what is the proof of true discipleship. Number three, what are the aims of discipleship? A, the principal aim is to be like Jesus. We are to reveal his character in our lives. The character as shown in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and are summed up in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. I don't need, I'm sure, to go through those, but we are to be like Christ. We are to reveal things like the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, we are to share in the work of Jesus. How are we to share in the work of Jesus? But what are we? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But what we do is important. Are we sharing the good news, and are we serving others? We've got to share his work. And the next one is to glorify the Father. Jesus, in his wonderful prayer in John 17 verse 4, says this, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And you know, now that Jesus has returned to his Father, we are his disciples, and we are therefore to glorify the Father by finishing the very work that Jesus has given us to do. So, we've seen the cost and condition. We've seen what the proof should be. We've seen what the aims are. Fourthly and final, I want to share with you the benefits of being a disciple. And believe you me, there are benefits. A spiritual relationship to God through His Son, Jesus. A spiritual relationship to God the Father through His Son, Jesus. How wonderful that is. We have that wonderful, special relationship if we are true disciples. John 17, verse 3, as Jesus put it in the prayer, life is to know God the Father and Jesus whom He sent. And then another one, another benefit, a personal attachment to Jesus. This is an attachment which shapes the whole of life. We are one with Him in His death, in His resurrection, and with His ascension. Isn't that wonderful? We are one with Christ. Next one. We have a discovery of God's purpose for our life. In other words, if we are a true disciple, we will know what God's purpose for our lives is. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the next one is we have a sharing of a wonderful fellowship. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Come on. What a wonderful fellowship. We have fellowship one with another because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. You know, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. We are part of that kingdom. What a kingdom. What a fellowship is ours as true disciples. Then there is a wonderful joy. Joy is the result of discovering the kingdom of heaven. Our joy is not in ourselves, but it's in the Lord and in what He has done for us. He desires, God desires that His joy should be in us and that our joy should be full. That's what the Lord wants for us. Isn't it great? And then as good disciples, we have a freedom from worry. Do we worry? Oh, I have to ask myself when I worry. Not good. A freedom from worry. We as disciples are to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all other things will be given to us without any need for worry. Not an easy lesson to learn, I think. And then we have a joyful anticipation of heaven. You know, we're already past, aren't we, of God's kingdom. But this is only a foretaste of what is to come. Just as Jesus was exalted, so too will be His true disciples. What a beautiful inheritance awaits us as I come to each of my own birthdays. I wonder for myself, will this be my last? Will I be with my Lord soon? But you know, we can't name a time, that's not our will. But we have the joy. We know that as true discipleships, we are going to be with the Lord forever. So, all this is ours. So we've looked at the cost and the conditions. We've looked at the proof that we should be showing. We've looked at the aims. And we've looked at the benefits. Praise God. My friends, as true disciples, may we all offer ourselves afresh in the Lord's service. Let us dedicate ourselves, our time, our lips, our all to Him, and to Him be the glory. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the call to discipleship. We thank you, Lord, that as we seek to follow, as we seek to be your true disciples, we ask, Lord, that you would equip, that you would empower us, that we might be all that you require. And Lord, as that happens, may we realize it is all about you, and the glory therefore must be yours and yours alone. Amen. Thank you, Jilly.
So we're going to sing Filled with Compassion for All Creation. Jesus came into a world that was lost. We're just going to sing the first two verses, a decision we made after we spoke to Bruce and he did the songs for us. So just verse 1 and verse 2 and the choruses. Oh, I just wanted to say at this point, I think Rita and I would like you all to pray for a man called Steve. Very antagonistic. You can't argue anyone into the kingdom, but we just show our love. And if we could pray for Steve, that he sees a vision or a dream, I think that's the way the Lord's going to do it. So thank you. Appreciate prayers for Steve. So we're going to finish with rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you. God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words, where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now. So it'll be his power in Steve and other people's lives, not our words necessarily.
Rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land. Into our hands, he will give the ground we claim. Rides in majesty to lead us into victory. The Lord shall see that Christ is all. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope and glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, the mighty army, we arise. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, the mighty army, we arise.
Israel. Oh, yeah. Well, they look genuine. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Woof! Come on, woof! Don't forget to